I mean, the talent's here. I don't think that's a question. Obviously, I'm not saying they have a perfect roster. They have pitfalls, just like any team does. But I think by and large, the talent is here. The question is the coaching, especially when it comes, I think, mostly to the head coach.
Welcome back in, everybody. Wednesday's edition of Birds 365, Schedule Release Day, BLG Schedule Release Day. Today, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. Excited to see when these games are going to be taking place.
Yeah, happy Logistics Day. I like to call it BLG. We already know the opponents. We're all talking about times and dates and games. But with the Eagles, that's always a big deal. From our perspective, certainly, and from a traveling perspective, everybody wants to travel to games. It's a big day. I will predict one thing, BLG, a lot of non-Sunday 1 o'clock games. That's my prediction. What's your prediction?
Just like last year. Yeah. Too many of the non-1
o'clock games. Yes. We all think that. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure, you know, with the expectations this year, it'll be similar last year. But, you know, for as much as we kind of make a little bit of fun of the, you know, finding out all the dates and times and whatnot, you know, it was relevant last year when certainly, you know, they had that big gauntlet and everything. And
yeah, there's always themes that are relevant.
Exactly.
Remember that three-game road trip that ended on Christmas Eve in Dallas? I said at the time, I thought, boy, third of three road games on Christmas Eve in Dallas. That is not a good spot.
Yeah, and there was a couple in there, too, with, like, you know, teams coming off of extra rest against the Eagles, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to look for things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are important. Yeah. AFC North. That is my first theme. That's the AFC team, your division you're playing this year. That's difficult. Because you have Baltimore's a Super Bowl contender. Cincinnati probably will be with Joe Burrow healthy. We'll see how that shakes out. Cleveland with her old buddy Jim Schwartz is a very good team. Mm-hmm. And Pittsburgh, 17 consecutive years, they've been at least got their head above water, never had a losing season with Mike Tomlin. That's the worst division to play in the AFC, and you got them. But you get the NFC South, so does that kind of even things out a little bit.
Yeah, I think it does, even though, you know, we obviously the Eagles season ended there losing to the Bucks, but I think you're not super intimidated of that division as much. I don't think there's a whole lot of unknowns really in that division. We'll see what, you know, Bryce Young is in year two. That'll be interesting, but it's possible he's just not very good based on what we saw in year one, or at least a lot.
Landers should be a little bit better with Kirk Cousins. They won 7 games with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke. They should be able to get
there. But the Eagles have been able to beat Kirk Cousins, least in the Nick Sirianni era.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So they should be a little bit better. But I got to tell you, and I've been saying this, and I'll run it by you. Well, I get it. It's about more than the Eagles when it comes to the first game in Brazil and all that kind of stuff. But that's the worst home game that they could possibly have given up, in my perspective.
Mm.
Because, you know, they're not putting Dallas. You know, they're not doing that. So put Dallas aside.
Right.
It's the worst home game because Green Bay's good. And Green Bay's going to be a team you're probably fighting for playoff seeding down the road. Look, if you win the game, it doesn't matter. But if you lose that game and you give up a home game and it would have been in Lincoln Financial Field, that's difficult. I would have preferred Cleveland as the opponent. But that's just from a football perspective. It's about much more than that.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think back when the rumors were that, you know, the Eagles might play the Browns or the Packers, I was kind of thinking, okay, which would be the most beneficial scenario for them there? And I guess I kind of came down to the Browns at the time, in part because I think there's a chance that, you know, if Deshaun Watson plays like he did last year, he might get like benched at some point in the season. Yeah. And maybe you kind of get the benefit of him looking bad early in the year. Whereas I think that Packers team, I think they're kind of being slept on a little bit. I mean, what they did in Dallas was like really impressive, how they just went down there. And I thought they played better than the 49ers in the divisional round. They obviously didn't win that game, but I thought they kind of outplayed the Niners in that game, obviously up until the end there. So, and they're incredibly, obviously, the youngest team in the NFL last year. I think there's a chance they hit the ground running here. So, yeah, I think that is a tough week one opponent.
Yeah.
LJ, what other game sticks out to you in term outside the NFC East? Obviously, everybody's excited for the Cowboys games. But a couple good quarterback matchups and good storylines. You got Joe Burrow. You got Lamar Jackson playing on the road. And then the one at home that sticks out to me is Doug Peterson coming back with Trevor Lawrence. I know they're not the greatest team, and Trevor hasn't really lived up to expectations just yet, but I do like that storyline. What sticks out to you, or what are you most excited for to figure out?
I think you hit on it there with, like, the big quarterbacks. Obviously, you know, as we talked about here, the AFC North itself is a big challenge in that regard. Even though, you know, the Browns, we don't necessarily feel awesome about that. And, you know, we'll see what happens, or who even is the Steelers starter. I tend to think it'll be Russell Wilson, but, you know, certainly we'll see about that. But, yeah, I think it's kind of about, you know, Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts versus Lamar Jackson. It's about these marquee matchups.
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be Atlanta week two, Monday night. You're right about it. Seems like I think the Eagles played the Vikings week two the last two seasons.
Right.
So it's always Kirk Cousins in week two. Atlanta coming in. And it's natural. They should give them the extra day coming off that trip to Brazil. So it looks like it's going to be Atlanta week two, Monday Night Football. But Mike Gill, we had Mike Gill on. He brought up a good point. I think that's a bad job by ESPN. Mm-hmm. And Gill predicted Jacksonville because they just hired Jason Kelsey.
Yep.
You have the sit down with Jason Kelsey and Doug Peterson. Super. That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Who cares about Atlanta? Yeah.
Agree. I do agree. Yeah. Who cares about Atlanta? But I do think for if you want to know if the Eagles are a good team or not, it is kind of interesting to play Kirk Cousins early in the year, because typically my thing with him is, like, he's the litmus test of if you can beat Kirk Cousins, you're probably a good team. And if you lose to him, you're probably not a good team.
That's true.
So there's an early barometer for the 2024 Eagles here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think game one is a great barometer too. I mean, we obviously already talked about the game, but that's a tough test. That team really dismantled the Cowboys. That was on NFL Network, and I rewatched it the other day. They put up 48 on the Cowboys, and it looked relatively easy for them when they did it. So two good tests, I think, to start if the Falcons is true to start the season for the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, Vic Fangio will certainly will get an instant impression of him and feedback on him right away out of the gate. And obviously with the Eagles, new defensive talent that they've added as well, I think that's going to be a big test for really all of that early on.
In 2017, later in the season, BLG, if we were talking and I said to you that Jared Goff would be the one getting – the monster contract and Carson Wentz would be struggling to stay in the league, would you have called me an insane person?
Yeah, I probably would have. I mean, I honestly never really got the Jared Goff thing, like, earlier in both of his and Carson Wentz's careers. I just thought, you know, that upside with Wentz was higher and tantalizing. And, you know, the second act that Jared Goff has had, like, shockingly so, I mean, even, for the Rams, who gave up an extra first round pick just to dump his contract, basically. And then,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
You know,
by the way, he made a Super Bowl with the Rams. You know, Sean McVay kind of rescued his career, but even he didn't believe in him. It was like, you know, he's trying to get rid of him.
Yep. Yeah, so, yes, I would not have believed you.
Yeah.
BLG, Johnny Mack and I talked a little bit about expectations. Quinyon Mitchell saying he's ready to go to a Super Bowl in year one. What are your expectations for the Eagles this year? Are you in a Super Bowl or bust type of mode, or are you ready to give these coordinators and these young guys some time and see how it goes?
I mean, the talent's here. I don't think that's a question. Obviously, I'm not saying they have a perfect roster. They have pitfalls just like any team does. But I think by and large, the talent is here. The question is the coaching, especially when it comes, I think, mostly to the head coach and obviously the offense. Whereas, you know, there's more of a question there where Vic Fangio, you know, there's more of a track record. I'm not saying the defense is going to be elite automatically, but you feel like you can at least get some kind of baseline competency. You feel like you're not going to have a situation like last year where it totally just goes off the rails. That would be pretty shocking and hard to project, where, as the case with the offense, you totally, you know, the talent is there, but are they going to maximize it? That is still very much a question that needs to be answered. When it comes to this team's outlook, I mean, look, there hasn't been a repeat winner in the NFC East, as we all know. So I feel like the expectation is you should be the division winners when that's what history tells us you're going to do. And the Cowboys seem like they might, you know, take a step back, fall apart a little bit with Mike McCarthy on the hot seat. So, you know, I think the expectation is you have to win the division and you have to be a legitimate contender.
Yeah. And that's, we were just talking about this. So, in your mind, where does Nick Sirianni have to go to be back in 2025?
Yeah, I think we'll know. All right. I think like by the end of the season, it'll feel a certain way. I don't think it'll be like, well, what do they do? You know, I think most would kind of say, again, division win in there, that kind of puts you in a good spot to, you know, be at home, win a playoff game, at least make the divisional round. I don't think it's as simple as checking a box like that, you know, because let's say
you get blown out. Yeah. Situation might matter.
Right. Or let's say, like, you know, somehow the defense is like the number one unit in the league and the offense can't do anything. Well, then at that point it's like, okay, I don't think that's going to cut it.
Yeah. I think a lot of what is going to depend for Nick Sirianni is how his coordinators do. BLG, we had you on last Wednesday. Right before the coordinator spoke, what did you make of the comments the coordinators had? I thought they sounded good. It's just a press conference, but I thought they said the right things. They have the right mentality. But what'd you take away from the coordinators?
Well, Kellen Moore definitely likes talking about process. That definitely came up a lot in his presser. But I liked Vic Fangio's presser more from just the standpoint of, I mean, he's going to be great, I think, talking to the media all year, just in terms of what you would expect a straight shooter. Right. And honest and succinct. And I think it's going to be interesting. We kind of got a first look at even about how, you know, Vic Fangio said he's going to be pushing for the Eagles to practice a little bit more than they have, and kind of, you know, made comments that were kind of not totally in line in terms of load management and whatnot with what the Eagles do. They're like number one load management team. So I think that's already kind of an interesting look.
I love Vic, by the way, PLC.
For sure.
I love him. And what does that say about the Eagles, though? Because they seem to really believe in this philosophy. And I don't know if it's a good thing to just say, all right, you know, we had a bad stretch and it was beyond bad. We don't need to re-legislate that, but I don't know if you believe in the load management, whatever you want to call it. What, you wake up one day and say, you know what? We were wrong. I don't know if I'd like that.
Yeah, I would not say the Eagles need to, you know, totally cast it aside. I think it's more about tweaking it. I mean, last year, I think, you know, John, you can speak to this too. Like, that was like the most light Eagles training camp schedule I've ever attended. Like, it was incredibly light.
By the way, I like that. That's part of it.
For your nose sake, sure. Yeah. But like, I think they could probably go like a little bit. There's probably.
I agree.
There's gray area they can get to without going over.
But I'm not talking about the actual implementation. I'm talking about the philosophy. Like,
sure.
The concern for me is if you believe this one day and then all of a sudden your belief is shaken that quickly, that concerns.
Well, does a 1-7 stretch? I mean, that's what shakes it, right? When you have a 1-7 stretch and collapse and you know, your expectations are high and you get blown out by the Bucs in round one. Maybe that's enough to shake their core philosophy.
I'm gonna expand this to motion because I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this and I want to run it by you, BLG. Because the Eagles are 32nd in motion, which is kind of ridiculous against what Nick Sirianni always says. Mm-hmm. Wise man avoids all extremes. Well, that's pretty extreme. You never want to be bottom five in anything. And you know, his whole philosophy of not using motion was based on Philip Rivers, because Philip didn't like motion and he loves Philip Rivers. And I'm like, from that perspective, that's dumb. You don't have Philip Rivers anymore. You got to make things easier for Jalen Hurts. So you probably got to move off your philosophy at least a little.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Or change it or morph it to what is best for the quarterback. And I don't know what that is for Jalen Hurts.
Oh, well, just to add in there, too, like, if I'm not mistaken, you know, even before Nick Sirianni, some of the motion rates for the Eagles were kind of lower, which also kind of speaks to, you know, there's a Jeff Stoutland element there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. I hadn't thought of that. But then I was listening to Kellen, and Kellen was like, he's always been top 10 in motion. He's always been on the other end of the spectrum. And I asked him the question. He was like, well, my dad loved it when I was growing up. He was a coach. I used it a lot in Boise State when I was a big-time quarterback. And I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, that's great, but what does that have to do with Jalen Hurts? Mm-hmm. Like, so if I'm criticizing Nick Sirianni for just saying, oh, this is what I believe in because Philip Rivers liked it, well, I got to criticize Kellen Moore for liking the other end just because his dad liked it or he liked it when he was a quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't know where to think on this, where to end on this spectrum.
I mean, I do think it's a little like naive to just be like more motion Eagles Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
It can't be that simple. Like that's just not. Now, again, it's fair to say that maybe they should probably do like Sirianni himself has said they should do it more than, you know, never. That seems like a good way to kind of get things involved. And obviously it's not just about doing it for the sake of doing it, but doing it with purpose and finding good ways to actually utilize it, which is, I think, in some reason why you bring in Kellen Moore. But yeah, it goes back to, I think, what is kind of the crux of this whole operation of bringing Kellen Moore in and molding that with what you already have and what in terms of what Sirianni wants to do and then what Jalen Hurts wants to do. And then you have a whole dynamic here changing, by the way, with Jason Kelce out and Cam Jurgens in, and we're going to see, you know, who exactly might be taking more of that, you know, responsibility there before the snap at the line of scrimmage. So there's a lot of moving parts here.
Just to play devil's advocate, John, and you, I don't know what the motion rate for the Eagles was.
30 under seconds.
They were
bottom under Shane as well.
Right.
Is the common denominator there Jalen Hurts? Just to play devil's advocate, is he the guy that might not like motion?
I think he's part of it, but as BLG brings up, I think Stout's part of it. I think Nick's part of it. I think Jalen's part of it. I think Shane's part of it. I think
Brian's you hear people talk about Jalen's ability to pick up the blitz. He struggles with it a little bit. Jason Kelce's telling him where the pressure's coming. Add in another guy moving. You know, I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Maybe Jalen Hurts.
The Kelce stuff was overblown. I mean, Kelce would have been telling anybody where the pressure's going. I mean, that you're just taking advantage of a very unique player, and that is going to change because you don't have that any longer. It's not about – I don't know if Jalen's comfortable with it or not because he won't be honest about it. Mm. But if he's not, you better not use a lot of it. You probably have to use it a little bit more, but that's what I'm saying about Kellen Moore. Yeah. If he's got a if he does have a quarterback who's not comfortable with it, he better not be using it because he liked it.
Well, we're going to learn that quick. If he's been top 10 in motion everywhere he's been, and then he comes here and he doesn't use motion at all, it's one of two things. It's Jalen Hurts or it's Nick Sirianni telling him to get rid of it.
Or both.
Or both.
Probably. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to me. That's the biggest story of the year. BLG is how Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore mesh.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be a good offense. There's just too much talent. I think the defense is going to be better because of Vic's presence, but there's some talent deficiencies there. Offensively, they have top five talent. There's only so far they can. And last year they were eighth in the NFL. So to me, that's the floor. They got to be better than that. And it's about integrating all these pieces and you know, those big moments, making sure Jalen Hurts is on the right page and there's no more Jets debacles or Seattle debacles. As long as you clean that stuff up, I think you're fine offensively.
Well, that is something that Kellen Moore kind of touched on a lot too, in terms of like cleaning it up, kind of like simplifying, like
clean operation. Yeah.
That was what he said.
Yeah.
His number one preference was, and I don't know if that's, you know, related to last year based on what he evaluated or not, but I mean, it fits with what you just said.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley. I want to talk real quick about Saquon. John, you didn't love the signing because, and I'm with you in this regard. And our buddy Caden Steele from NJ.com brought up a great point about it yesterday. Like, I'll ask both of you, why do you think they brought Saquon Barkley in? Because you look at the last 2 years with Miles Sanders, with DeAndre Swift, they were largely productive running backs, both well over 1,000 yards rushing. They didn't use him much out of the passing game, but like, what does Saquon have to do to merit the worthiness of the contract? Is there something I'm missing? Did they bring him in for a reason that I can't see other than to be a great running back? What do you think his role is, and how does he live up to the expectations that come with his contract?
Well, I think his role, you know, is just like, the most established number one running back the Eagles have had, really, and like, you know, like since Shady, like a long time ago, just that clear number one running back, not a timeshare
three
guy.
Three down back. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like a legitimate 20 touch, 20 carry per game kind of back.
Yeah. Which could take pressure off Hurts, I guess, if you look at it like that too. Yeah.
My problem is I think they keep bringing up like he's the closest thing. I think they're chasing the Christian McCaffrey ghost.
Sure.
And they want that kind of impact on their offense, and I don't think they're getting it.
I don't either. And I think it's more on the quarterback than it is on Saquon, to be honest with you.
I think it's just hard to get that. You know,
but my point is Brock Purdy drops back. Brock Purdy hikes the ball. His first thing is get rid of that ball instantly. Jalen Hurts has never been that guy. He's a playmaker, and he wants to be a playmaker. He likes being a playmaker. So if you're not going to dish the ball that quickly, there's only one ball. You got AJ. You got Devontae. I don't see that role for Saquon at all.
Well, neither do I, and that's part of the problem. I do think he's you're not paying him to be a pass protector, but I think he's a better pass protector than Miles and DeAndre. I think he's a better player than Miles and DeAndre. So it's not about Saquon the player, but if you're looking for that imprint on the offense that Christian McCaffrey gives his teams, I don't think you're getting that. So if that's what you're trying to sell, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope my evaluation is wrong. But I just, everything about the NFL comes down to evaluation. I think the Eagles got it wrong if they think that's what they're getting.
I think philosophically, you know, they looked at what they value, which is obviously offense as an organization and another way to get better on offense. And I also think they looked at the value. And when I feel like they can kind of justify, okay, we're paying Saquon this kind of money when, you know, Darnell Mooney is out there getting like a similar contract for the Falcons and obviously different positions. But I feel like that's where it kind of becomes justifiable, where they think they're adding a really good player at a pretty reasonable and low commitment relatively, like essentially like kind of a 2-year deal, where they feel like, okay. And also, and I wonder how much this is part of it. Like, I don't think the Eagles love to rotate their backs on a given drive. I don't know if that's just an anecdotal observation, but I feel like typically, like, they don't kind of like to have guys going in and out as much as they like kind of stick with a running back on that drive, and to a detriment at times. And I think, yeah, just kind of having that Saquon Barkley 3-down presence there, it kind of just gives the coaches something they don't have to worry about in terms of that rotation.
And it also puts more pressure on Kellen Moore from the perspective of, you know, the old adage, BLG, good problem to have, but, you know, good problem has the word problem in it as well. And that's, you got to keep everybody happy, and you got to keep distributing and keep everybody involved. Now, generally, if you win games, nobody's going to complain. But if you start to lose a little bit, it's going to be, oh, you got to get the ball more to so-and-so, whether it's AJ, Devontae, Saquon, even Dallas Goedert. I could see that developing early. Like, where's Dallas Goedert in this offense? I could see that being an early season storyline developing. It's a bigger deal than I think people realize to keep all those playmakers happy.
Yeah, and the Eagles are obviously very aware of that in terms of their moves or lack thereof. That was kind of a big topic last year where, you know, there was thought that maybe the Eagles would go after DeAndre Hopkins or draft Jackson Smith and Jigba. No, they're not going to add another volume monster to this offense when they're already trying to feed the mouths that they have. That's just not what they were going to do. And look at what they did in this year's draft, where, again, they didn't add anyone, or even in free agency, between Devontae Parker and Paris Campbell, who's going to dominate targets as much as they might be able to be a role player in this offense.
Yeah, John, I know you. I mean, and I agree. It's all about winning. If you're winning games, you don't think anybody will get mad. But if the Eagles start out 5-0 and AJ Brown has 200 yards through five games, I don't think he's going to be a very happy camper.
By the way, real quick, Bloomberg is reporting that Netflix is going to purchase the Christmas games. We kind of knew. For less than $150 million per game. Oh, so they're keeping it under $150 million per game. Mm. Good for Netflix to have that kind of money for those throwaway Christmas. Hopefully the Eagles aren't involved, but we'll see how that shakes out. Wednesday football. BLG. Not excited for that. I guess I'll end it there with you. Bring it back to the schedule at Brandon Galton. If you know, you looked at this schedule and said, biggest positive, biggest negative, is it just about NFC South versus AFC North? That being a positive. Is it losing that Green Bay game as a home game that would have been at Lincoln Financial Field? Is it having Jacksonville at home as that extra game? What do you think is the best sort of potential aspect of it and the worst potential aspect of it?
I think just going back to what I said earlier about last year, I think not the only reason why they dropped off, but a big reason why they dropped off is because they had that, not only the gauntlet, but the gauntlet, again, were that situation where they're playing the Bills on short rest. And then they played the Cowboys and the 49ers on short rest. Well, the 49ers are coming off extra rest. There was just that stretch in there where the rest disadvantage was way out of whack. And, you know, they had to play overtime in the Bills game. And the pass rush fell off during this time because they played so many more snaps than they usually do. And I don't think they ever really recovered from that. So to me, when the schedule comes out, I'm looking at the rest. And is there a stretch where the Eagles are either getting, punished like that, or is there a stretch where maybe they can actually take advantage of that this year where they're on the flip side of that and maybe they have extra rest going into a Cowboys game or something, and how that could be a really big deal?
Yeah, I agreed. And last year that was a big story, obviously, with the gauntlet of games coming out of the bye week and all that, and it obviously had a big impact on the Eagles.
Yeah, I forgot about all those defensive snaps. Yeah, BLG's right. They had that stretch where they were just constantly on the field.
Yeah.
It was like they played five games worth of snaps in three games. Yeah.
And that probably contributed to Jalen Carter's stretch run and Jordan Davis and all the conditioning issues and not having gas left in the tank. Yeah, they just couldn't get off the field on third downs. That hurts. Make should fix that, at least to a certain extent.
Right.
I think that I'm positive about. And it's less of a, to go from 26th in defense to say 15th or 16th. I think that's my prediction. They're going to be solid, at least middle of the road on defense.
Yeah, and I think that's enough of an improvement to make a difference for the team. Also, the offense, too. The offense, three and outs kill the defense, as we just talked about, how many snaps the defense got. So if the offense can be better, too, that will help the defense. But, BLG, we kept you long. Thank you for joining in today. We'll see how it all shakes out tonight at 8 p.m. when they release the schedule. Thanks for joining Birds 365. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
There's BLG from Bleeding Green Nation. Good stuff from BLG. Good stuff from Mike Gill today, too. So two good guests to prep you for the NFL schedule release tonight. Johnny Mack and I will come back. We'll put a wrap on this Wednesday edition. And then tomorrow, I keep teasing this offensive segment, but I don't see where it's going to fit tomorrow when we're doing win, loss. We'll see. We'll do all that tomorrow. And then if you guys are in the chat box, we appreciate it. Make sure you drop us a like. I think we're at 94. Let's get to 100 before the show ends. So thank you guys for checking in, for liking the show. We're up to 95. So five more likes to get to 100 and we'll get out of here. Coming back, we'll put a wrap on this edition of Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.